The first major protest since Tunisia's president seized executive power 2 months ago. Hundreds denounce what they call a coup. Kais Saied's supporters say he's carrying out the people's will. So what's next for Tunisia? This is Inside Story. Hello and welcome to the programme. I'm Imran Khan. Tunisia's political and constitutional crisis began in July when the president sacked the prime minister, suspended parliament and assumed executive power. Kais Saied insisted it wasn't a coup and said the measures would only last 30 days. But 2 months on, he still hasn't appointed a prime minister. He hasn't revealed plans for reform and he's extended his emergency powers until further notice. On Saturday, opponents vented their frustration at the first major protest against the president. But Saied's supporters were out in force as well. Now, we'll bring in our guests in just a moment, but first, this report from Dorsa Jabari.
A rare show of public dissent against President Kais Saied in the Tunisian capital. Thousands of people rallied in the center of Tunis on Saturday, chanting, "Shut down the coup, and we want a return to legitimacy."
We followed the path of the revolution with its negatives and positives for 10 years. But what happened on July 25 took us back 50 years to autocracy, which we tried with Bourguiba and Ben Ali, but their policies were a failure and we couldn't advance.
On July 25th, President Saied dismissed Prime Minister Hisham Mehshishi, froze parliament and seized judicial power, insisting it was not a coup. But others called it a threat to the region's few democracies. Saied's supporters held a counter-demonstration chanting, "The people want to dissolve parliament."
The opposite side took advantage of the chaos following the schism and conflict between state agencies. They are the ones that went out to demonstrate today. On the other hand, we are the ones who consider ourselves supportive of the July 25th decisions and therefore support Kais Saied. We came to preserve the state.
President Saied called the move to seize executive power an exceptional measure, a response to an economic and political crisis. The former constitutional law professor justified his decision by citing emergency measures in the Constitution that his critics and many legal scholars said did not support his intervention. Political leaders have complained about the Constitution since it was agreed in 2014. They want it to be changed to either a more directly presidential or a more directly parliamentary system. President Saied says he plans to amend it, but a powerful union and Tunisia's largest party have objected to changing the constitution. Saied is still to appoint a new prime minister, while millions struggle under economic and political stagnation. Dorsa Jabari, Al Jazeera.
Let's bring in our guests in Tunis, Amel Azouz, a political scientist and a member of Tunisia's Ennahda Party. In Syracuse, New York, Mohamed Dia Hamami, a political science researcher at Syracuse's University's Maxwell School. And also in Tunis, Sherif Al-Kadi, a political commentator. A warm welcome to you all. I'd like to begin with you, Amel, in Tunis. At some point, we're going to have to start to call this a coup. We haven't heard from Kais Saied in a major way since this began. There's no reform plans that have been announced and there doesn't seem to be any movement. It has to be now a coup.
So if your question is in the way we describe what has happened, if it is a coup or not, I can tell you that even the law scholars, I mean, teachers of law in our university, there is a real controversy concerning what happened. Some of them would say that this is a mere interpretation, okay? So it's a kind of giving oneself the prerogative to interpret the text, the constitutional text, the way he sees it. However, there are other scholars and other law teachers and professors would say this is a coup in the legal, technical, formal sense, it is a coup, if you want so. If you consider that the monopoly of powers, of authority in one hand, contrary to what we wrote in the Constitution of 2014, and I was one of those who drafted the Constitution of 2014. Technically, there is a huge and a dangerous and a very important violation of the Constitution of January 2014.
So as I understand it, Emil, you are stopping short of calling it a coup yourself.
I told you that there is a real controversy. Myself, within what I've been telling you, even in the sense, in the technical, formal, legal sense, the way Mr. Saeed has interpreted and has behaved and has monopolized power since July the 25th, we cannot really describe it differently.
Also in Tunis, Sharif Al-Qadi, often when we look at Tunisian politics, we understand that it's a system of dialogue. The dialogue does take place between all of the different parties. Are we in a moment where there are negotiations going on? We just simply don't know what they are.
So far, and according to what we've been hearing or listening or even reading from analysts here, it seems pretty obvious that there are no kind of dialogue or no kind of potential consensus, at least in the next few days or weeks. Maybe we should still wait for the next upcoming days and weeks, even though we are waiting since July 25th, which is quite a long period. Especially, this has been reflected on the recent polls when President Saeed has lost at least 10% of his popularity, but still, he's still very popular here in Tunisia. But for a dialogue, I think that this is one of the issues we're facing, that there is no dialogue whatsoever so far, in addition to the statements and declaration of President Saeed that there will be no dialogue with corrupt politicians or corrupt elite or what he called the mafia and lobbyists who were in control before July 25th. This has been the position of President Saeed even before July 25th. So for the dialogue, unfortunately, so far, there are no signs of a potential dialogue. And we are waiting for the next steps now from President Saeed, since he is, let's say, at the head of the executive and by de facto at the head of some sort of legislative branch or legislative, since he's legislating by presidential decrees or presidential orders. So far, no dialogue.
Mohamed, I'm going to come to you in just a second, but I want to put that point to Emil in Tunis also. Emil, no dialogue or is there dialogue?
I don't really agree with your guest from Tunis. I would say there is a sort of effervescence these last days. At the beginning, yes, there was this kind of surprise or shock. Call it whatever you want. But these last weeks, I think I can see figures, I can see activists, political activists from all the political spectrum coming together. They are trying. There are, of course, it is but a beginning of a dialogue. Also from the organization of civil society, but especially political elites and from the political class, I can see that there is a change. Things are starting to change, and people who have come together before 2011 and after 2011, don't forget, after 2011, there were assassinations. 2013, two big assassinations, but in spite of that, the political class have been able to come together. I think that these same people who were successful to come together are trying now to come together. And I'm giving you facts. I'm not just analyzing. I'm giving you facts that political activists, and the event yesterday, events was one among, you can see many of these political activists coming together in that symbolic event in front of or in Shera in Habib Bourguiba Avenue.
Mohamed, in Syracuse, is Kais Saied running out of constitutional cover? He gave himself the deadline of 30 days. No one forced that upon him. He said to himself, I've got 30 days, I'm going to announce reforms, I'm going to announce new leadership. That hasn't happened. Are we getting to the stage now where it's simply illegal what he's doing?
Well, I think, first of all, we should make it clear, on July 25th, he did not announce any intentions. And that's actually one of the major problems that we've been facing during the last few weeks in Tunisia. We don't have clear vision on what will happen during the next few weeks or months, or how long this state of exception will last. Regarding your question on the legality, I don't think it's relevant anymore in the discussions in Tunisia, because many accept it as a kind of de facto. And are discussing the amendment of the new constitution. So whether or not it's legal, I think there is a wide consensus that the Article 80 does not allow the president to suspend the parliament or dissolve the executive or even amend the constitution. In fact, and ironically, the only co-author of President Kais Saied when he was back in the days a professor of law, is known for his legal opinion on how we cannot amend the constitution in the state of exception. So far, the Article 80 is being used as Saied to more like a justification for his actions than anything else.
But isn't that a dangerous precedent, Mohamed? If there's silence from Kais Saied himself, there's no real reform plans, as you say, at the very beginning weren't announced, here we are 2 months later, still no reform plans. Isn't that a dangerous precedent that he's simply just trying to wait this out?
Yes, well, although he was not explicit about what he wants to do in terms of reforms, economic or social, we know that since 2011, we've been advocating for the change of the constitution toward a specific direction, a form of political regime where the executive powers will be concentrated at the level of the presidency, but at the same time, the legislative body would be elected in a very unusual way, with a hyper-decentralized process and kind of indirect elections. And even people who are supporting Kais Saied right now on his recent actions against a few political actors or against the parliament are not supportive of the decentralized system he's advocating for. So what is actually more concerning is not what he wants to do, is rather, like you said, the absence of any vision on how to address the major issues for which Tunisians have been protesting, and like meaning more specifically unemployment and poverty and other socioeconomic related issues.
Sharif, this was a major protest, but it wasn't as big as we've seen in Tunisia in the past. It was in many ways restrained. It was much more about putting political pressure to come up with an announcement. Or was this the beginning of a new movement in Tunisia?
Well, let's say it's a big protest, maybe for the media or from the external point of view. But what happened yesterday, only 100 of people gathered in downtown Tunis, at best 1,000 people gathered to oppose Saied decisions. So this could be, of course, the beginning maybe of a series of other protests across Tunisia or even at the same place in the capital. But actually, I don't think that would be just, at least for the upcoming weeks, this won't be, as big as we maybe would like to think or would like to say, because it's pretty obvious that the people that gathered yesterday, they were rejected, or they are rejected, even according to recent polls, they are just rejected by the population, and that's why they are supporting President Saied's decision. They are not in support of President Saied's maybe program or vision of his bottom-up democracy or direct democracy, as we may call it, but they are just supportive of him because he simply neutralized them, if we can say it this way. So they are, unfortunately, they are seen as the corrupt political elite who failed to address the problems of the real problems of Tunisia in terms of economy, in terms of reforms, in terms of reforms of the judiciary, the fiscal reforms, the police reforms. And of course, in terms of the economic reforms, because what we were facing before July 25th, and even now, to a certain extent, is that, okay, we have freedoms, we have free elections or some sort of free elections, but it's not delivering economically. And this is what the revolution was about in 2011. People were first protesting for their economic rights, for their social.
Sharif, let's put your point to Amel here, also in Tunis. We seem to be hearing that, you know, he hasn't addressed the real problems of Tunisia, structural problems of Tunisia, which aren't going to go away overnight. But he is popular. Is he listening to these protests or is he ignoring them because he feels he has the political and popular support?
Let me first of all tell you that it has become clear that all that Mr. Saied has wanted to do or told people he'd like to do, he was unsuccessful to do it or to realize or to achieve it. He could have done all of these promises, he could have realized them and achieved them in a much easier way and within the context and the frame of the constitutional legality. I can tell you he could have presented, and the constitution gives him this right and this prerogative, presenting initiatives, etc. What happened yesterday, however, the only alibi for Mr. Saied was this is the will of people, popular will. I'm behaving in such a way because this is how people wanted me. It's people who wanted me to behave in such a way. The importance of what happened yesterday is that there is this message, this symbol, regardless of the number of those who were there, because this is a strategy. Not calling people in a huge number was meant. We are not in front of showing or, if you want, exhibiting a certain power. No, we are giving, or people who gathered yesterday are trying to give a message that, yes, there are people who went out on July the 25th, but there is also another part of people who went yesterday to the street to say something else. And this has changed the equation, and this showed that a part of the street, if you want, and of people, considers what happened on July the 25th a coup. And he asks for, and yesterday's slogans, they said that. They wanted the state's institutions back. They want constitution back. They want the laws back. They want legality and legitimacy, both of them, if you'd like to go into this dialogue of legitimacy and legality. They want everything back. So I guess what happened yesterday shows that nobody in Tunisia could do anything in front of all these challenges, political, economic, social challenges. No one alone can do anything, including Mr. Saied as a president of the Republic, including majoritarian parties. So the only solution, as I can see, is not individual. The solution should come in a sort of a consensus, a dialogue, a consensus, a national dialogue within and under the umbrella of the constitution.
Mohammed in Syracuse, what do you think of what Amal has just said? Is there a potential for dialogue here?
Well, so far, Qais Saied was isolating himself. He did not meet with major political actors since July 26, at least, if we're talking about the labor union. In other words, we were not really seeing any form of dialogue right now. It may happen in the future, but we're not there yet. However, regarding yesterday's protest, I think it's important. It was important because it visibly showed that there is some level of discontent from what Saied is doing. However, we should not extrapolate from the slogans and assume that they are representative of what all Tunisians want or political actors in Tunisia want. both the polls and the public declarations of, so the polls represented the opinion of the masses, and the public declaration of key political actors show that there is little interest in the return of the pre-July 25th situation. All those who are in favor of a return to a constitutional order are in favor of, or at least most of them, are in favor of constitutional amendment. We still don't know exactly what this constitutional amendment will look like, but people were not satisfied from the situation the way it existed before July 25th. So we should not read that much into yesterday's protests.
Sharif, in Tunis also, one of the biggest weapons that Kais Saied has in his arsenal right now is the fact that Tunisians have been through so much and they're fed up with corrupt politicians, mismanagement, and he's using that to justify his actions in this constitutional crisis that it's under. Is it a case that Tunisians are just simply fed up and they don't want to come out on the streets and they just want some sort of stability, which is what this is offering them?
This is true, or partially true. Tunisians, they want stability, they want economic reforms, they want democracy that delivers. From yesterday's protest, the main lesson that we've learned so far is that to protest freely in Tunis and to express the opinions, one's opinions, despite the differences, is still some sort of normal thing in Tunisia, fortunately, so far. Whether we are in favor of Kais Saied or against his decisions, whether we are in favor of the former parliamentary coalition or not, this is quite normal, and this is now some sort of unconscious thing in Tunisia that free speech and free protests are some normal thing. Concerning your question about whether Tunisians are fed up, yes, they are fed up. That's quite obvious, because when we have a recent, even starting from the 2019 elections, they voted for a person out of the political sphere and the classic political
Sharif, we are running out of time, and I would like to come to Amel just for one final question. Amel, at what point does the Ennahda Party just put pressure on him to come up with something, to come up with some sort of announcement, some sort of reform plan? When does that happen? It's already been over the 30-day limit.
I think Ennahda now is behaving within, of course, a sort of coalition, or at least Ennahda Party is trying to work or to behave within, and trying to also to collaborate with the political class existing now, and who are really willing to get into a front, a collective front, to save democracy in Tunisia and to save the transition, to democratic transition. Apart from that, I can't see any other. In all its communiques, it's been asking Mr. Saied to review and to get back to the constitutional legality, but at the same time working with the other representatives of the political and the social spectrum, if you want, in the country to get out of this deadlock. There is a deadlock, just if you allow me to interact a little bit with your guest, Sharif. I think I do agree with him, there is a deadlock. The deadlock is food on the table. Is Mr. Saied today able alone to provide these challenges, the socioeconomic challenges, to fight corruption on his own? This is the greatest question and the greatest challenge. The answer for me and for all who are following, of course, they would say, of course not. The problems of Tunisia are structural problems. I've been in the assembly, I've been in the government in 2015, and I know, I mean what I'm saying. Tunisia's problems are structural and deep, and they need a national dialogue, which, as I told you earlier, nobody, even if we have early elections and we have a majoritarian party, I don't think a majoritarian party alone or two majoritarian parties alone would be able or could be able to solve these problems. So we have no other chance. And people are working. I know the horizon is not clear enough, but there is a will. And I do believe in this will of national democratic people, this will to overcome this crisis. And whenever there is a will, I'm sure there will be a way and a way out and a solution.
I want to thank all our guests, Amel Azouz, Mohamed Dia Hamami and Sharif Al-Kadi. And I want to thank you too for watching. Now, you can see the programme anytime by visiting our website, aljazeera.com. And for further discussion, go to our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/AJInsideStory. And you can also join the conversation on Twitter. We are at AJInsideStory. From me, Imran Khan, and the entire team here, bye for now.